Hopefully you had a pleasant and peaceful afternoon. Appreciate everyone here, especially those visiting with us. Alan wanted me to share with you a few photos, so I thought I'd do that before I started. He sent a couple over yesterday. He had a class with 40-plus preachers. I'm sure most of those are probably the ones that we support over there. So it's really encouraging that we have that many men we can support as a local congregation. And, you know, you get encouragement from the brethren over there, the many people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They're excited about the word, and they're just hungry for teaching from God's word. And we're really encouraged by that. And then we come over here to the United States of America, and it can really discourage you. It seems like you hear fewer people really wanting to be dedicated Christians. It just seems like that's just the way things are going. And of course, I'm reminded by the scriptures that say there's few, there will be, because God's people has always been a few. So don't let that become discouraging to you. As long as you're faithful, and my faithfulness never depended on man, ever, period. Nothing. It doesn't depend on man. It depends on God. But we are encouraged by the work over there, and let's draw our encouragement from all that's going on. And kind of connecting with that, you know, the common salvation that they have is the same thing that we have, and that is from a big picture standpoint, we're all trying to get to heaven. Heaven's our eternal goal, and with God's grace and mercy upon us, we can have that goal, and we can have that assurance. You know, I'm reminded of Paul and the many times that we're familiar with these verses, the times that he talked about. Paul wasn't arrogant. Paul was confident, and maybe this is something we can learn ourselves about how we can approach this, and I commend the men and women here of all the years that we've been Christians, that nobody's just, after a while, just cashed in and say, forget it, I'm not doing it anymore. A lot of people have done that in different ways, shape, or form. But Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Paul says, I have fought the good fight of faith. Or, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to my own, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Can we say these words confidently? If we cannot, we might want to examine ourselves. We need to have the confidence, not arrogance, that we're doing what is right. It doesn't mean that we just get there and stop, and we'll see that even in some points tonight. But tonight, as we open God's Word, there's a lot of things that we could preach on. Jeff and I were talking, and he slightly alluded to it this morning. I asked him Wednesday night, what are you preaching on Sunday? He kind of had some ideals, and I said, I have a few things I'm working on, not sure. And kind of an insight to my mind, a lot of times I just kind of look at usually what I need, but I consider that there's men here and women here and children and fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters and grandmothers and grandfathers. And you start thinking about, you know, what does the congregation need? I mean, there's no sense preaching God's word if it's not applicable to us today. Then we're just up here reading verses. No, we want to make God's word applicable. So then kind of made a list. I thought, well, we can go over inspiration, which we've been talking on Wednesday, and mercy, and patience, and anger, and so, you know, you start going through this. So I thought, well, I'll just hit on all of this stuff. You know, Paul preached till midnight, and it's only 6:15, so I got a lot of time to go ahead and hit on all these subjects. And of course, the brethren will hate me after I'm done, because they weren't planning on staying here till midnight. Not going to do that, you know that. My whole point is that just talking about what we need from God's Word. Now, this is kind of a solicitation, because with Alan going to Malawi a little bit more, possibly coming the year, if there's a sermon you want to be preached or a class you want to be taught on, listen, I'm open for ideals. My most difficult thing is just, what am I going to preach on? Then once I figure that out, and anybody else, then it's, you know, just dive into it. So just keep that in mind. Now, the sermon tonight is not really, part of it was what I was thinking of, but part of it was what Diane was thinking of. So if you don't like the sermon, see, I can blame her, but it's not that way. But I just asked her, what should I preach on? And a lot of times she won't say anything, or she'll say something, I end up not doing it, but tonight's going to be a little bit different. And that is drawing closer to God. Now that's a worthy subject. And how many times in our day-to-day routine of being a Christian, if you will, do we stop and think, you know, how can I draw closer to God? Is that something we're even interested in? Because if we have a carnal mind and all of our thoughts are about the things of this world, about the things that we have, and how am I going to get more, and what am I going to do when I retire, and when I'm retired, what am I going to do? Those things are there, and we have to deal with them. But our main goal here upon this earth is our relationship to Jesus Christ, our relationship to the Father. And we can say to ourselves, well, how do we draw closer to God? If somebody was to ask you that, Rob, Brian, Virgil, how do I draw closer to God? What would you answer? What would you answer? Well, hopefully we all have the same thing, but in general, I think we all have unity on these type of things. And a lot of what I'm going to say tonight is just simply reminders. But how do we draw closer to God? Well, I think the natural place to start is in the communication. Because if our relationship's with God, how does God speak to us? God only speaks to us through His Word. That's it. There's no special revelation. You might say, God told me. Sometimes I ask people, well, how did He tell you? Well, He spoke to, how did He speak to you? You can start narrowing down things that people say sometimes. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. God only communicates through His Word. Now, that doesn't mean the evidence of God is creation. The Bible talks about that. We know He exists because of the things we see. But you can't stare at a mountain for a whole day and figure out that something's going to come from that mountain to tell you how the plan of salvation and how to live our life. But we know God exists through the creation, and therefore we know that His Word is true because He created it, or He spoke it through the Holy Spirit that we have today. And then how is it that we communicate to God? There's only one way. There is only one way. And this emphasizes the importance of prayer. God speaks to us through His Word, very obvious. But how much do we speak to Him? How much do we want to draw closer to Him through our prayer life? Because that's how God knows our heart a lot of times, and our desires, and our wants, and our needs, is through prayer. So my first point is, how can we draw nigh to God? How can we be closer to God? And that is the studying His Word to know what His will is. The answers I'm going to give you tonight come from God's Word. It's not something I sat up in a back room and thought, you know, how can we become closer to God? Well, you know, we could do this and we could do that. Start our own charity organization. You know, things like that people have come up with over the years. That's just not what God says. But we can study His Word, we can know His will, and we can speak to Him. And that's just the start of drawing closer to Him. And the nice thing about this, and the nice thing about being a Christian, is you never arrive. And one of the deceitfulnesses one of the ways the devil deceives us is to think, well, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I've read that Bible through and through. And, you know, I've tried to do good works and I've done all this. And, you know, I'm just going to kind of just take it easy the rest of the way. That's not what we read in the Scriptures. Even the Apostle Paul said, even though he could say, I fought the good fight, Paul continued striving and trying to do better in his life all the way up until he was put to death. If you have your Bibles, turn over to James chapter 4. And verse 8 says this. It says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, the very statement itself helps answer our question, and that is, how do we draw nigh to God? And you're going to see in the verses we look at this evening is that there's responsibility on both of our parts. And rest assured, God has done his part. It's our part. You notice it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. There's the first action, and it's us drawing to him. It's not, well, I'm just going to wait around until God someday somehow magically tells me that, hey, I'm here, I'm helping you, you need help, I want to help you. Now, that's not how it works. It's an interesting, I want to look at the context of James chapter 4. Sometimes we just read a verse, we're picked out right in the middle of a chapter, and we might not really know, because a lot of times when we want to try to answer a question, we let the text answer the question that it was raised in, or the statement was put in. So let's turn over to James chapter 4, and there's a little backdrop to verse 8 that I want to start at, and that is in verse 1. And it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Believe me, if there's a struggle that we have, this is where it's talking about. It's the flesh against the spirit. And when we understand that all the time, it makes it easier to overcome because we just put away those fleshly things. And verse 2 starts naming some of those type of things. It says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain, you fight in wars, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Verse 5, or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in you, in us, yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now verse 7, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We might say to ourselves, well, how do we draw closer to God? Well, this answers the questions, and not something I need to come up. So let's just kind of, let's look at the verses here, 7 through 10. And the first thing that we have to do in order to draw closer to God is we have to submit to God. Now, literally, get into your proper ranks. Now, when a buck private acts like the general, there's going to be trouble. And anybody that was in the military, when you have a private and you have a general, you have a sergeant, you have a commander, and the private decides he's going to run the ranks or he's going to tell everybody how to go about doing things, that's a real problem in the military. There's rank and file. There's the commander and there's those that are privates and so forth. And there's I don't think there's any doubt when you're in the military of who's in charge. And that's the same thing with us. We're not going to tell God. You hear a lot of people today want to tell God how things should be and that God thinks this way and does this way. That's not how it works. The first thing we need to do is submit to God. We need to get in our proper rank. Number 3, unconditional surrender to God is the only way to victory. That's it. There's no magic formula. If we want to draw closer to God, then we have to surrender our complete life to him. And we'll look at later maybe some things in our life that'll hinder us from doing this. And number 4, submission, it says, not my will, but thy be done. If you look at the rest of that chapter 4 of James, it says that, let your will be done in all things. Our will's not even in the factor here. It's not even in play. It doesn't matter what we think. It's what God wants. And in order to draw near to him, he's looking at that. He's saying, is my servant really drawing to me? Is he submitting to me? Is he doing all those things that I want him to do? Now, point number two here is to resist the devil. So he is behind every war that we have. We started reading in there in verse 1. He's behind every war that we have. We need to be devil experts. We need to know his way. But what the real encouraging thing here is, it says to resist the devil. We know that he will flee from us. So that tells us that it's possible. A lot of people might say, you resist the devil and he's just always there. Well, this is a promise that God has told us. Submit to God, that's on one side, and resist the devil and he will flee from you. It's a guarantee. And all of us can probably say, hey, there's been many times throughout my life, I resist the devil every day. Every day. Does that mean you'll go away forever? No. But that does mean here that he will flee from you at that given time. And as we become stronger, that we still have to resist him. But this is a promise that God has told us. And the number two point, he will flee. Now, verse 8, as our main verse here, draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. How do we do this? So we start seeing some how-tos with this ideal about drawing near. You need to cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Cleanse your hands. Get your sins, have your sins forgiven. We'll see a little bit later that when our sins are between us and God, it separates us. Sin separates us, and that's not something. If we want to draw closer to him, there's no way if we have sin between us and him. That's not forgiven. He's going to reject us. He's not going to draw closer to us if we're not the type of people that we want to be. Purify your hearts. Be single-minded in your devotion to God. Not double-minded like a spiritual adulterer. You can't serve God and mammon. You have to be singly focused upon what God's desire is for us to be pleasing to him. We have to take and say, what is it that God wants me to do? And we can't be wishy-washy. We can't be, I'm not really sure about this. Maybe I'm just a part-time Christian. We cannot be that. God will know that. And we need to be have our hearts pure before God. And that's part of what drawing near to him is all about. And then we see point number four, you need to humble yourself in the sight of God. We see in verse 6 that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We cannot come to God wanting to draw nearer to him and say, you know what, God, here's the conditions. This is, I'll draw near to you, but this is what I want out of the deal. That's not going to be that's not a humble attitude. A humble attitude is, God, what is your will? And I'm going to do it. Tell me what to do. And a lot of people in this life don't want to be told what to do. I'm not going to do that. There's just no way. Well, God has given us the choice, the free moral will, to do what he wants us to. And if we want to draw near to him, we're going to have to submit ourselves to his will so that each and every day we are more and more like his son. And the points there, it's possible to submit outwardly and not be humble inwardly. We're a hypocrite. We may appear to be righteous. We may appear to be striving for what is right. But really, inwardly, no, we're not really humble. We're not really trying to do what God wants us to do. And point number two, true mourning for our sins. And that's what it says in verse 9. Lament and mourn and weep. So we know in order to have our sins forgiven, we have to have godly sorrow. We have to say to God that I am sorry that I've done this. And this is Paul, part of the repentance process. And if we feel so bad about the sins that we commit, to bring us literally to tears sometimes, that if we lament and mourn, that's going to heighten our awareness to what we've done. We're truly repenting. We're truly sorrowful for it. And then God knows our heart and says, that person is really sorrowful for what they've done. And then hopefully as you feel that, and it's terrible, that you can in the future say, I don't want to feel like that again. I don't want to have the guilt and serving the devil and not serving God properly. So we really need to have this attitude to have our sins forgiven. And then number three, the end result of such humility, in verse 10, God will lift us up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's another promise from God. And God is looking for humble servants. In order to draw near to God, in order to be pleasing to him, this is the type of attitude that we have to have. And just turn over here every once in a while to James chapter 4 and read what is required. And we know that those things are what's best for us. We know that when we live our life, there is no doubt we want God in our life, and we need to know how he's going to draw closer and closer to us. Now, I mentioned just a few minutes ago about what's kind of the opposite of this, and that is in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I don't know how a Christian doesn't have this in mind. And then also what we mentioned about from what Paul is saying about fighting the good fight, and there's a crown laid up for us. I don't know how we could live day to day thinking to ourselves, I'm not really sure if I'm going to heaven. Can everybody here raise their hand and says, I'm going to heaven? Now, we're not going to do it arrogantly, but if we can pillow our head at night and not know, there's something wrong, brethren. We have to know. We have to have the confidence. Paul taught that. Jesus taught that. He wants us to have a confidence. Now, none of us are perfect, and we all think, well, when I stand before God, I know I'm not perfect, but with his grace and mercy, he knows your heart. He knows your attitude. And when you just become a Christian, you don't know everything. He knows who you are. He knows that you're striving. He knows what your outcome is going to be, and he's willing to help you. But let us have the confidence, because if you come to God as the double-minded man, if you come to God with, I'm just not sure, then we don't have the faith that he's told us to have, and the confidence that he's told us to have. And if your conscience is bothering you and you cannot pillow your head at night and say, I'm definitely going to heaven, then you need to do some self-examination and find out why not. And it may be a good thing. Maybe you need to make a list of things that you could do better and that you're not drawing closer to God. We have to have that confidence. And that's what gets us up every day. And that's what the Christian's hope is. It's not, well, I hope so. Well, you're living right. Nah, kind of. No, there's no kind of Christians. We have to have the confidence. We have to have the hope. And we have to be able to draw closer to God because he wants us to have that. So each and every one of us, I'm trying to be an encouragement to us that we can draw to God and he'll draw to us confidently. And we don't want to be in this situation. Because if there's iniquities between us and him, and it says right here, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, he's not, and your sins have his face from you, that he will not hear. You can pray till you're blue in the face and ask God if you haven't truly repented of your sins and have the goal to get closer to him, he is not going to hear you. And that's a humbling thing, but it's what the scriptures teach. And we should come to him with confidence and thankfulness that we can have our sins forgiven. But this theme of drawing near to God is taught, as I was studying this, it's taught throughout the scriptures. And I could spend the next 20 minutes just reading verses about drawing near to God. I never thought there'd be so many. And I thought, well, I don't want to be here till midnight. Let's just read a few of them. But let's just turn over here, grab your Bibles, or I have it up here. And that is in Isaiah 29, in verse 13. These verses are very easy to understand, very easy to look at it from the standpoint of drawing closer and nearer to God. Wherefore, the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their face towards me is taught by the precepts of men. Now, hopefully, we examine ourselves and we don't say, yeah, well, with their mouth and their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do a self-examination and say, my mouth, my lips, my heart, and my will, and what I do, my actions, is consistent with drawing to near to God. But it is good. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their lips. The next verse, to get ahead of myself, says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. This is a confident person that can say this. But the resolve of this person is, I'm going to do everything I can to be pleasing to God, and I want to live every day of my life drawing nearer and nearer and nearer to God. We sang the song tonight, nearer to God. Is that really what we want? Or is that just something that we just hope happens miraculously and through nothing that we need to do? And like we said, there's two parts. There's God's part and there's our part. And rest assured, He's done His part. So our drawing to Him is going to be upon our actions. And every day of our life, no matter what our situation is, that is coming into play. That is being tested. Are we drawing near to God, or are we drawing farther away? There's no doubt that we want to draw near to God. In 1 Chronicles, verses 28 and verse 9, O thou Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with peace, serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Important. For the Lord searcheth all the hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, drawing nigh to him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Another verse, Psalms 145, verses 18 through 20. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him, where? In truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. We could spend a whole lesson just on those three verses about truth, about them that fear him, and about him that love him. God knows. And somebody might say, boy, I really wish I could do more of that. Well, here's the manual. Here's the manual. And if we don't study the manual, we're not going to know how to do this. We're not going to accomplish this. Now, a lot of this stuff, maybe we studied over and over. The Bible reinforced what we already know, the faith that we already have. It's just putting it into practice. That's the number one thing. We know these things. We know what to do to be drawn to God. How about something in the New Testament? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22 to 23. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Without wavering again, God wants us to have confidence. We can't waver. We can't be tossed to and fro in order to draw near to God. He wants that. Isn't this just what Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 says? We all probably could say it and memorize. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do not be wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, I want you to think back to this past week, maybe the past month, maybe the past 6 months, maybe the week coming up. And think about when I was through in some difficult times. Let's talk about either difficult times or good times. It doesn't matter. Whatever your life situation is. If it's a difficult time, because sometimes even prosperity is difficult. You ever think about that? Having all that we have? Some might think, well, yeah, give me a bunch of prosperity and I'll let you know how things go. Believe me, it's both sides. It's being poor, it's being rich, being weak, it's being strong. No matter what situation we're in, we can draw to God. But think about the last, let's just talk about a difficulty that you were in. And how did you get through that difficulty? Did you lean on your own understanding? Did you think, well, this is how I'm going to get out of it? I know God says this is how I should have patience and long-suffering, and I should do some things over here, but that's not how I'm going to get through this. I have my own ways. That's not drawing nigh to God. That's leaning on your own understanding. And it might be a temporary solution. You know how the world deals with problems? Well, I'm going to be at the bar at 5 o'clock on Friday night, and I'm going to drink my sorrows away. And when I wake up, the sorrows are still there. They still haven't went away, have they? God has not produced those kind of things for us to get away. God has said, draw to us. Don't lean on our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In everything that we do. And whether it's initial salvation, did we do all the steps of salvation? Yep, we sure did. A lot of people can't even get past that. They don't have God in their life. They've never been baptized for the remission of sins. They never confessed. They never repented. They live a life like it's faith only. They just do what they want to do and say, I'm saved. There's nothing I can do. When we read all those verses that says drawing nigh to God, that showed man's responsibility. I didn't hear it saying God will come to you whether you want him or not. Just he's going to, irresistible. It's just coming on you. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you have to do. That's not what the scriptures teach. That's not what we should be doing as God's people. We have to lean on him. We have to lean on his understanding. And every failure we have in life, we can look back and say, yep, I was leaning on my own ways. I was doing my own thing. So what's some application? We spent almost 30 minutes now just looking at the scriptures about how we can become closer to God. And there's no doubt that in our roads of life, and everybody here has a different story about their life. And there's going to be bumps. There's going to be hills. There's going to be uphill battles in this life. And each one of us have different lives, different roads, different backgrounds, different situations. What kind of application can we make? Just trying to remind yourself of what God's Word has taught us. And some of you might say, I have it all figured out, Rob. Don't worry about it. This road of life, no problem. Well, there's a lot of scriptures we could cite tonight, but how about take heed lest you fall? If you think, you know, this is easy, I got this, no problem. Be careful, because right around the corner may be a situation you're going to think you thought you could get through, but you couldn't get through it. How about things that can distract us from being a Christian? And somebody says, well, I've been a Christian, Rob, for 40 or 50 years. That ain't ever going to happen. Well, we could probably go around the room and talk about people we've known and people that have been Christians for 40, 50 years, and they come to the end of their life and they become weary and well-doing, and they just, for whatever reason, maybe they didn't build a strong, solid foundation on the rock like the scriptures teach us. And when the winds came and the storms came, even in later in life, they just gave up. They just went to the world. They didn't care. That's not what we want. The older we get, the longer we've been a Christian, the longer God has been in our life, we need that rock-solid foundation. He's going to help us build that. We need to stay focused. We need to draw closer to God each and every day. You need to say to yourself, how can I become a stronger Christian today? Whether it's reading God's Word, whether it's doing the works God has given us, whatever the situation may be, each one of us as an individual, when we're on this road of life, God can help us. God can help us. It's really the only help we truly have. If this was at night, can you imagine driving on that road at night with no lights? I've been on some roads that are really dark, really dark. And other than the lights from my car, that's the only thing you got. And that's God's Word, the light of God's Word. And if we say, you know what, I'm going to ride that dark road up into the mountains without any lights on, and maybe somebody will come around this corner and won't see you. That's all about life. Let's not resist it. Let's let God's Word guide us. Draw closer to God, and God will draw closer to you. And say to yourself, how do I draw? Just like Diane asked, how can we, as a wife and a husband, as a congregation, as individuals encouraging each other, how can we draw closer to God? If that's our mindset, then it's an attitude of, I haven't arrived. I've got a lot more to do, a lot more to learn, a lot more opportunities for God to help me and become stronger. Then, when the difficulties of life come, I call it the preventative maintenance. You've done the work. You've laid that foundation. And when the storms of life come, you say, through God's help, I'm rock solid. I have a solid foundation. My life is built upon the rock. My life has got God in it. He's drawing closer to me. He's in my life. What about you tonight? What about you tonight? Do you need to draw closer to God? I hope that just a few verses that we read for a little while will emphasize to you how important it is. And I think the verses told us how to. Removing sin from our life. Being sorrowful for what we've done. And God will come. He will be in our life. He will help us. And you got to have the faith and the confidence that He's going to do that, each and every one of us. The invitation's being extended now. Maybe there's an opportunity tonight that you need the prayers of the congregation. I don't believe there's anybody here that's not a Christian that needs to become a Christian, so that's always there too as well. But the main thing we need is the prayers sometimes of the brethren, the encouragement from the brethren, so that we can stay on track. We're here to encourage one another. That's God's plan for the church. This isn't on our own little island. We just come together 3 days a week and there's just nothing else to do. God's plan for His body of Christ is to strengthen one another and be encouraged. And hopefully through God's word that we've seen this evening, each and every one of us can be encouraged by that. If you're in need at all for the invitation this evening, you may come while we stand and sing.